Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order for the City of Geneva Historic Preservation Commission for Tuesday, April 21st, 2020. With that, I'd like to call a roll.
Commissioner Zinke? Here. Jason?
Here.
Commissioner Solomon?
Here.
Commissioner Heller? Commissioner Heller? Commissioner Heller? Commissioner Hamilton?
Here.
Yes, I'm here.
Chairman Zellner?
Here. Okay.
We're all present accounted for.
Very good. Okay, with that, I would like to see whether anyone has any changes to the meeting minutes for February 19th, 2020. Any changes?
No.
Not seeing any. I would ask that one of you have a motion to approve and one of you second.
I'll motion to approve the February meeting minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
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 And Commissioner Zinke, do you need to abstain?
Yes, I need to abstain. I was not at that meeting.
Very good. So, motion carries. Okay. With that, I will. Item number four is review of building permit applications. And the first one is 428 Fulton Street. I will let Michael take over from here to give a presentation of the project.
Thank you, Chairman Zellner. This is a project that you have seen before. It's a multi-phase project at 428 Fulton Street. The property is located in the property is located in the southwest corner of the local Geneva Historic District. It's also located within the Central Geneva Historic District that's listed in the National Register of Historic Places. When the National Register of Historic Places survey was updated in 2015, this was identified as a contributing property. However, in the 1999 architectural survey that's been adopted by the City Council, the building is identified as non-contributing. It was identified as non-contributing primarily because little was known about the house or its architectural style. As I've referenced in the past, we are currently updating the survey as an intensive survey, and it will be a recommendation of staff that this become a contributing property for associations with patterns of development and study of methods of construction and technology. But at this point, it's officially identified as a non-contributing property. Just to review, I will go through all the slides and then I will be able to reference them when you turn the floor over to the applicant team. So as I said, this is a multi-phase project. The building looked like this in 2012. In 2018, Brian and Megan Morrell brought forward some concept plans to update the home. And these were reviewed favorably with some minor questions and points to have refined. In July of 2018, they came back with the first phase to rehab the dormers by putting by installing gable roofs. The proposed project that comes before you tonight involves some interior demolition and some rearrangement of spaces, as well as the demolition of the existing two-car garage. The three areas that are impacting the exterior Again, the blue area is a proposed new front porch. The yellow area is a reworking of the kitchen and master bathroom area within the existing footprint. And then the green area is a new proposed three-bay garage with two garage doors facing 6th Street. And then the other bay has fixed windows facing the street. Again, this is a multi-phase property, and this was the proposal for the gable roofs. This is the proposal that's coming before you to integrate the entire building with a shingle siding. The owners have informed me that when they undertook the dormer work, that there were shingles on one dormer and clapboard siding on another, which just again, kind of plays into the history that we know of this house, that it was done over phases and probably was not completed by the Greaves family when they left Geneva in the 1930s. The products that are being proposed for the exterior are products that you've seen before on other projects within the historic district. The windows are proposed to be the Elevate collection by Marvin, which you have formally approved as the Integrity Wood Altrex. The line has been renamed by the Marvin Window Company. The proposal is for a stone white finish with 7/8 inch muttons at the exterior and interior with a non-specular spacer between the glass, which conforms with our window policy here at the City of Geneva. The roof is proposed to be an asphalt shingle roof to match what's been already approved on the dormers, and then some accent areas with a standing seam metal roof. The color should be verified. I believe it's intended to be black, but we should verify the color. And it is proposed to have a traditional rolled seam or a similar narrow batten, which is the approved seaming process that's been permitted in the historic district. The other elements that are being proposed are James Hardy fiber cement shingles, which has been already used on the dormer and approved by the commission, LP smart side soffit, LP smart side trim. It should also say LP smart side vertical board and batten, and then FIPON architectural brackets. Per our siding policy, all of these elements should have a smooth finish to appear like a painted finish from the 19th century. The project consists of multiple elements that are being proposed. So I'm going to run through those so that you have an itemized view of the complexity of the request. The first item is the construction of a porch. Historically, we have no documentation that a porch ever was built at this property. However, we believe a porch was intended based on the architectural style. And so the applicant is providing a design that is sensitive to the era when this building was built and sensitive to the arts and crafts and shingle style of architecture. The issues to review on the porch are the overall design and massing to make sure the commission believes it's in scale. It's also to look at the proposed door and side lights, the proposed composite columns, and the metal roofing that's proposed on the porch. The applicants have submitted a proposed front door. It appears to be a wood door. We want to verify those materials this evening. And the permacast columns have been used elsewhere in the district. The drawings indicate that they are a smooth column. So this is the information provided by the applicant for the permacast columns. Also on the Fulton Street facade is a is included to replace the windows on the north elevation. The window information that was submitted in the agenda packet shows a variety of operations. We probably want to go through and make sure we understand which windows have which types of operation. They are drawn to look as double hung windows, but the window order indicates some are actually casement windows, with a simulated double hung look. So I've identified windows that were unclear as to which the operation was, so we could have the architect and applicant clarify that for us. And then the windows on the right that are in the kitchen area are again a simulated double hung flanking casements on either side of a fixed double hung simulated double hung. So again, they do not have the dimension of a upper sash and a lower sash. These are applied trims to a flat piece of glass to give the look of a double hung window. Again, just looking at this project over time as we go around the building, this was the proposed proposal for the installation of gable dormers, gable roofs of the dormers. And this is the existing condition of the mid-1980s addition that joined the Greaves house with the historic water tower on the property. The proposal for that renovation of the exterior of the 1980s addition is to continue the shingle siding that's proposed for the main residence, and then provide awning windows, four light windows, and then providing a panelized wall treatment that would use a smooth panel with vertical trim that would then wrap around this small projection between the tower and the main house. That's not a system we've seen before. That doesn't mean that it's not appropriate, but it is something we have not seen before, and there is no precedent for it on this site. This is the condition of the existing historic water tower from March of this year. And this is the only historic view that we have been able to document and locate. It's from around 1890 to 1900. And you can see the character of the water tower with clapboard siding, a water table at the bottom, and then a porch feature with some doors facing the west. It was a windowless tower because, again, it was a utilitarian tower, and it's being proposed to be adapted to provide light into the proposed master bathroom renovation. So again, the tower is the probably the most, or is the oldest architectural element on the property. It's being proposed to replace the existing windows with double hung windows, so functioning double hung windows at the first floor. The second floor proposed to be, or the upper floor is proposed to be casement windows with, again, applied muntins and trim to appear to be a double hung window, but they're actually casement windows. And then it's proposed to have a standing seam roof installed on the tower. So the idea in the proposal is to modify the upper portion of the tower to be all glass and kind of provide a lighthouse effect with the tower. To that end, these are the four elevations showing again that the entire upper floor would be glass on all four sides. The west elevation is, this was what was shown when the dormer discussion was being presented to the Historic Preservation Commission. This is the actual completed work of the historic dormer, giving it a gable roof, and a detail up close to see the details that would be replicated in the renovation of the rest of the exterior following the details of the gable work that's been completed. This is the proposed west elevation that shows the main house to the left and the proposed three-bay garage to the right. The residents, again, would follow the materials that are being proposed for the Fulton Street facade. And the garage is proposed to be a board and batten vertical siding to set it off from the main part of the house. It has two single overhead garage doors with a carriage style door with upper lights. And then the bay to the far right has fixed awning windows again with muntins, a fixed mutton, simulated muntins to mimic the windows of the garage doors. Again, the roofing would be proposed to match the asphalt shingle roof of the residence. And there is a proposed cupola or lantern being proposed on the garage to highlight the garage itself. The proposal is to have garage doors are similar to what's in the photo to the left. I provided one of the spec sheets from the catalog for the door manufacturer. The doors do have a texture to them. I'm assuming the doors are white. That is a color that we'd want to verify the color because it's a permanent color. This particular carriage line, all of the doors have an embossed wood grain. Just for your reference, there is not a smooth option offered by this company. This is a fairly mild embossing of the doors, as opposed to some of the more aggressive embossing that's available on other types of doors by this company. Also, the north and south elevations of the of the proposed garage are visible from the public way. So again, even though they're secondary elevations, they would fall under review by the commission. The items on the garage that would be up for discussion is a verification of the service door on the north elevation, which is at the rear of the garage, so very difficult to see from the street, but it is somewhat visible. And then there is again a simulated double hung window on the south elevation. Again, it replicates a double hung window, but it's actually a casement window. So again, looking at it from the east, this was the proposal sketches for the proposed gable roof at the historic dormers. This is the completed dormer work on the east elevation. This is the east elevation of the residence. Again, the only part that is really visible from the street or under review by the commission would be the front portion of the elevation, which would be the tower. And there is a proposed fixed oval window that would be visible from Fulton Street. It is important to note that all of the windows are square in the home or rectangular, and the house is very simple angles and simple geometry. This is the only window that deviates from that pattern. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong or right. It's just, I'm pointing out that it is the only window that is not rectangular in the entire design. And then just for reference, just so you can understand the building in 360 degrees, these are the rear elevations of the garage and the home that, again, are not subject to HPC review. It's provided for information only. If there's questions trying to relate the plan to the elevations. Finally, these are the applicable SOI standards for rehabilitation of the property. 8 of the 10 standards apply. I've highlighted in blue the major element or the major discussion point of the of each of the standards that apply to this property. So they're there for reference by both the applicant and the commission. With that, Chairman Zelmer, that ends my introduction to the project. I'm happy to get to any slide or image that any of the applicant team or any commissioner is interested in reviewing in further detail.
Okay, thank you, Michael. I guess Morels, if you want to say something, you can jump in, or Dan Marshall, if you want to go over anything, or Mr. Augustine, Todd, you can jump in too. So I think let's hear from the Morales first.
Thanks, Paul. Well, it's our third visit, so hopefully you're getting familiar with the project, and thank you for doing this under the circumstances. It's, I guess, quite historic that we're doing the first video review or whatever at this point, but thank you for helping us move our project along. One thing that just I wanted to point out quickly, and I know Dan could probably comment on this a little bit better, but can we go to one of the slides that shows a picture of the new dormers? Maybe Michael. Yeah, so those new dormers are actually cedar. Michael misspoke when he said they were hardy plank or whatever. They're cedar boards. So, and that's consistent with what we're going to do the whole house in. It's cedar. The other thing I wanted to, I guess, mention is Todd and Dan could clarify this as well, but some of the windows that were sort of mentioned as future casement style, those are existing windows that are two are casement style. One's currently a double hung, but again, it was just sort of misrepresented as not a double hung. And I think some of the windows that are labeled on our drawing are not casement windows. They're fixed windows. They don't crank out like a casement window. So maybe Dan can comment on that. But then the other thing I guess I wanted to say is, Megan and I are both, really excited to be in the home stretch of this project. And it's been a long, sort of expensive journey, drawings and iterations. So we're very anxious to answer any questions you have and very sort of willing to work with you on whatever we need to make adjustments-wise. So I guess maybe Dan, if you would, could he comment on the windows?
Sure. Or if you have anything else to add, Dan, you can just jump in.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Michael, for that stunning introduction. I appreciate it. One thing I noticed on the drawings that you have, if you go back to that with a panelized section, the drawing of that on the front. I don't know, that was shaded on our drawings, just a back one. That was shaded on our drawings with a light shade just to show the contractor what that is, but it turned black in your drawing or your presentation. So there, all that horizontal strip would be all white. There's a vertical piece missing. They're all little square panels about equal to the window. There's a vertical piece missing between the two windows there. There should be two verticals. So that is, that's missing as on this drawing. I'm not sure why. I'm sorry about that. As Brian had said, the windows up in the tower, those are actually fixed picture windows. They're probably labeled casement in the window order just because they're casement windows. They're just fixed, so they won't open. But they are not true double hungs because they're way above the floor. You can't reach them, and the double hungs leak a little more air than the fixed casement would be. And the only other thing I wanted to point out is on the oval window, I had failed to draw in the muntins, the grill pattern, and that's supposed to have like a grid, just a single vertical and a single horizontal in it. And I'm not sure how that got dropped out, but we think we want that there if you guys will allow it. And I think that's really all I had. Took notes about the wood, the smooth. We would do that as much as we can, and can address any questions or address Michael's comments on the staff report or whatever you want to do. I'll mute for now.
Okay. Thank you. Todd, did you have anything to add that you wanted to?
I would just like to thank the commission for pulling this meeting together under these unusual and unprecedented conditions we're facing right now. But just a couple of, I guess, clarifications on my end that I heard Michael bring up. One is the front door. Yes, verify that that door is a wood door, and it would either be fir or mahogany. And the garage service door, I believe that question was what material that would be. And that also, if it needs to be wood, it would be wood. Those doors typically take a lot of you know, beating, coming in and out of the garage there. So if metal is allowed, I think Brian and Meg would maybe like to have that option, but I'm not sure what the standard is on that. That's all I'd say. I'm here for any questions you might have.
Okay, thank you. And so just to clarify, the siding is all going to be cedar siding, cedar like shake sidings. Is that correct?
Correct, on the house. Yep.
To match what's on the dormers right now.
Yeah, and I think there's, Michael probably has a sample. You guys can't see it all, but it's the same color, same materials.
Chairman Zelmer, that is my oversight. I'm sitting right next to the sample here of shingle sides, so I apologize for that.
That's all right. Yeah, and then the garage is going to be a hardy board plank with board and batten siding.
Yes.
Okay. Hopefully you never have to paint it, correct? Okay. Any questions from the commission? You can start.
A question, of course, from me. Since the elevation for the garage is not under our purview, are any of the materials used in the garage in part as part of our purview or not?
The garage is under your purview, what's visible from the public right-of-way. So you would be able to see the northwest and south sides of the proposed garage. The only elevation that's not under your purview is the east elevation, which is the rear of the garage.
Okay, so that means then that the materials that can be seen from the public right of way are something that we should be concerned about then, right? Is that what you're saying, Michael?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We have approved on new buildings hardy plank siding, correct? Or hardy board board and batten siding, Michael, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? Okay, Mr. I'll point at you. Mr. Warner. Or I'm sorry. Mr. Hamilton.
Thanks, Commissioner. One question I had for the Morales was about the change in the siding. What was, and maybe I just missed it when it was originally presented, but what was the thinking when changing the whole house to the cedar, to the shingle siding, versus the horizontal lap siding?
I guess there was a couple things. It's been a very long journey, but the house is aluminum sided today. So we didn't like the aluminum. And when we bought the home, we were originally going to, you know, demolish the home, met with Michael, got largely the okay to do that because back then it was non-contributing and there was no question. But then the more we lived in the home, the more we started to like it. And it reminded us of kind of, you know, our view of it was New England-y kind of feel. And Michael said, actually, I think this house would have been in keeping with the cedar shake style. And I bet it, you know, it's possible that maybe it was originally conceived as such. And Megan and I kind of just fell in love with the cedar shake. And I think I was afraid at the time to go down the path of putting, you know, new wood on the house for having to maintain it forever. And we were starting to go down the hardy plank shake. And I think that's probably where Michael felt maybe got confused earlier. But after meeting with the commission twice, I think they gave us the option to go with the hardy plank cedar shake or do it in real cedar. And, you know, and that's how we ended up where we're at.
Thanks. I certainly remember the dormers, you know, being discussed in with the shingle siding. I didn't realize the whole house, that was the plan. What is any of the, horizontal, the current siding, historic or do we know?
So the current siding is all aluminum, and the garage is, there's nothing under that aluminum. The siding under the existing aluminum, depending on where you look, we talked about this with the dormers, but it's in a sort of a mishmash of repair states. There's some of it that looks pretty good. There's some of it that it's clear there's been a lot of doors and windows moved, and that whole addition that connected the house to the tower, it's unlikely that that wood looks like the rest of the wood. And I met with a neighbor, actually the Plato house owner, and you know, his comment to me was he remembers there was a really good reason why they finally wrapped that house in aluminum. It was in very bad shape and they were tired of taking care of it. So I'm sort of resigned to believe that we're not going to be happy with what we see. And I met with two contractors. I talked about this probably the first time we met with the commission. One of them wasn't Todd yet, so but he didn't know this, but met with two contractors, talked about replacing the siding, and ended up sort of both of them telling me economically, you're not going to save any money. It'll probably cost you more to repair it and it won't be warranty. And so Megan and I then fell in love with the kind of let's do the whole house in cedar shake and consistent with the dormers.
Did you have a comment, Mr. Marshall?
Yes, one reason for the change, as I remember, to cedar over the hardy board was that we could do the open corners and not do the corner boards, which was key to really getting a real shingle style look compared to maybe a colonial look.
I, for one, as a style, I think it's appropriate to be shingle style. It looks like something out of one of the textbooks I used to have in architecture school. So but go ahead, Mr. Warner. Or Mr. Hamilton.
Okay.
Did you have anything, Mr. Warner? I'm sorry.
Only if Mr. Hamilton was finished.
Yes, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. I have been averaging about three or four of these webinars a week, and it's to my much of my consternation to have this one fail. So I do apologize, and I thank you for bearing with me. Maybe it's for the best that you can't see me, but we'll leave it at that. Then thank you for coming before us again at this time. There's so much that I like about what you're doing here. Unfortunately, to keep the meeting rolling, we have to kind of pick at the things that we really have questions about, but overall I'm impressed with what you've done. Welcome to the neighborhood. I too very much like the shingles style of that. I think it's appropriate for the style and for the neighborhood. I think it's a good choice for that era of a home. I had a question though about the windows. I'm still confused a little bit as to what the rationale for this types of windows are and where they're being used. I think having fixed windows in the upper tower, it makes sense to me that they would appear to be double hung, and I'm okay with that. But what is the operation of the rest of the windows?
Maybe I'll
answer that. Or
go ahead. No, you go for it.
Okay.
Would it be
most of them are double hung, except there are some that are casement that look like double hung. For instance, on the north elevation, the front, there's the triple windows that those two are casements that, on the side, the flankers, and the middle one's fixed. And that's because they're over a kitchen sink. It's a lot easier to crank open a casement than to lift the double hung. And those are pretty skinny windows there. Then on the...
Dan, what is the center one of the three?
That's fixed. That's just a fixed.
Okay. Fixed window. In the side or casement crank.
Correct. Yeah. Pictured. Yeah. And then on the bedroom, which is on the master bedroom, is on the west elevation, the right side. And there's two there that look like double hungs, but they're actually casements. And that's the first floor ones in the big gable. And that's because of the egress code. But we could probably get those as double hung if we had, you know, if you thought it was better, I think. Right, Todd? Pretty sure we could, because those are first floor. So
With the casement windows, it's a little bit easier to make egress. So that's why we did make those egress. That it's the bedroom, master bedroom there. So if necessary, we could change those to double hung.
And I think all the rest are double hung.
Would those windows become as wide as the ones up in the dormer?
I would have to, as you well know, the egress code is pretty difficult to interpret unless you have it in front of you. So they very well may be as wide as those, which could be a problem for the Morales as far as their bedroom and what they're trying to accomplish in their bedroom. So I think that's one of the reasons we went the direction we did.
I'll add that if they worked out as double hungs in the plan and Todd could pull it off, we're fine with it. And the ones in the dormer that Paul mentioned, those actually had to be customized to meet egress. They had to actually be enlarged, even though they don't look that big. The hole wasn't big enough to crawl out of, I guess, is the idea. So mm-hmm. there was a little customization. So I think they're right at the smallest they could possibly be.
Yes, those have to be customized at the Marvin factory to accomplish what Brian just mentioned. So it's not a cheap endeavor to do that. So if we could avoid it, would be, I'm sure, appreciated by all.
First floor egress is allowed to be a little smaller than second floor egress. So we can, those windows are very close. I might have to make them 2 inches wider to get it to work and maybe a little higher, but not significantly. But that's why they were picked that way is for egress. And I think that's really it. The ones what we call the laundry room, which was that connection link with the paneling, those were showing as fixed, but those are fixed right now, I think, or they're awnings without the symbol on them. I'm not sure how they're in the order. How do you remember
the awning windows?
Yeah, they were awnings, but they could get some air in there if necessary.
Okay. So they're not marked right on the drawings right now.
My reason for asking is that I would favor double hungs just for the age of the home and style of the home. Double mm-hmm. hungs throughout wherever possible, unless something functionally or code-wise would prohibit that. That's all. So that's why the upper level of the tower, I think, makes sense. Over the sink probably makes sense too. But to carry that forward, I would also apply that to the oval window as well and have that a small double hung or something like that. I personally would think that would be more appropriate.
I was actually going to ask the question of where did the oval come from?
Our imagination, honestly.
Okay.
When we look at these New England homes and they're beautiful, and I know we live in Geneva, not New England, but we see them all the time. In these shingle style homes. And so I don't know if, you know, we're going to talk about the cupola and the circle. These are things that sort of were near and dear to Megan and I's heart. Think it's like probably the only two things that we injected in the design. And
it reminds me of a porthole, if you will, on a ship or something. It's going to be in my laundry room. I thought it added a neat dimension there.
And still private. But it was just a desire, not sort of a trying to keep with any particular style of home.
Okay.
The oval windows, you know, it's in a not very prominent location. It's on the side wall there. You will see it, but it's not a very prominent window. It's not a focal point in a gable or anything. I did notice, Michael, like I was just looking online for some shingle style. A lot of times they would use those ovals sideways. And McKinley meet in white. I'm looking at a house, the Isaac Bell house that has it sideways up in the gable. And so that was kind of a thing. We did it vertically to fit better in the space for them.
Okay. Yes, Carolyn.
I wanted to comment. I think everything that you're doing is just wonderful. I like how how you have placed the windows. I like the oval window. I like the windows up at the top of the water tower. I like the fact that you are using shingle. I was curious. I believe you said that on one of the dormers, that there was underneath the aluminum, there had been shingles, and on the other one, it had been clapboard. Is there any way to know if the older of the two dormers was the shingled style, or is that just a who knows?
It's a who knows, but when the siding guys were tearing it all off, they said it, you know, their view when they rehabbed homes, that when you know, the side of the home that faced the sun gets the most sun and the home was repaired, people sometimes did it cheaper than it was originally designed. And so perhaps that they said it could have once been shingle, but it looked like the clap, whatever, the vertical horizontal siding had been there a long, long time if it had been replaced.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, I am okay with the clapboard siding. I think that would be very interesting on that corner, which is very prominent. I would like to chat a little bit about the front porch. My commissioners, any thoughts about the front porch? My thinking is that it is a little on the grand side, maybe too grand. I don't know. I'd be interested in other people's opinion on that, please.
I'll jump in. I actually don't have a problem with the porch. I think it's going to be lighter than it appears there. I think that I assume that the roof is going to be, what is the color of the roof? I guess that's the first question.
It's black with white columns.
I have a feeling that it'll appear less imposing in real life than it is right there. So, but that's my opinion.
I don't disagree with Paul. I think it's going to add some character to the house. It's just such a dramatic change from what is the current, which is very, very simple. But, you know, being that the front of the house is quite expansive, I don't think it's going to be overly too much.
You want to say something now?
I didn't know if you could see me.
I could. <All right. laughs> I'm not looking at the camera, but I can see you.
All right. I like the proposal. I think what they're doing is working out real well. You know, they're basically saving the structure intact. I mean, it's the massing is arts and crafts and shingle style and all that. And that everything they're doing seems to work real well. I always felt this house needed a porch. I mean, I'm sure everyone else that walked by felt the same thing. I think what you've got on there sort of somewhat echoes what was it. And initially, I thought the same thing. I thought it looked a little light, almost colonial to me. But then you put that nice example of that one house. It was a catalog house. What was it? Columbine, was it, Michael? And it had a very similar porch to this. And my first impression was that the columns maybe were a little overdone, that maybe they could be thicker or fuller and less, you know, not what do we have now? We have three columns on either side, no, four columns. Actually, you have the half columns, right?
Yes, we have three in the front and a half column against the wall, a pilaster.
Yeah, so I guess my feeling is that, you know, later shingle style, when you see the arches and all and the fully clad buildings, they're always a little more massive. Earlier shingle style to me always seemed to be a little of this light style with not even always the arches, but as it progressed, you always saw it seemed to be a little heavier. And I wondered if you had considered even looking at those columns and either making them maybe heavier columns or even tapered columns. square taper.
I didn't look at square taper. I thought that was, it seemed a little too craftsman, especially with the arch. Not shingle enough. Shingle is interesting because their columns on a lot of the shingles are actually really thin. The craftsman style really started to beef them up. And so a lot of the shingle column, they're almost like toothpicks, because remember shingle and stick style were kind of at the same time, coming right after sort of Queen Anne Victorians and just simplifying all that. So I know what you're saying about it. I think with three of them, you don't really get the picture at a straight on view like this, but with three of them, they have enough mass and they're not small columns in terms of the actual proportions. They're not too tall and skinny or anything like that. So I have a feeling that because once you see the full volume of them and the three as a corner, they'll look pretty good. The other way would be to do one big round column, which I thought would look kind of postmodern, almost traditional, I guess.
Okay.
More of a caricature almost, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I saw the example in the packet, I thought, okay, well, here's where there's sort of an inspiration for it right there. But initially, my first response was that when I see a full clad shingle house, I always thought of a little more mass. That's all. Mm-hmm. But I love the project and it's a great job.
Thank you. We do want it to look good, so I appreciate the input.
Caroline, did you have something to add?
I just wanted to ask Dan, I'm not understanding on the picture that I'm seeing. I'm seeing two columns on either side of the door, but I don't see where the third one is. What am I missing?
Michael, if you can go maybe to the left side elevation, one of them, just to show the side view of it too. All the way on that one, that side. There you go.
There you go.
So you see the second one that's hiding behind the other front one, just to the right of the oval window. So they're on a corner. The floor plan shows them too.
I was going to say move to the floor plan. I think it might be clear what he's talking about.
Yeah, can we see the floor plan? Is that possible?
So and then you have an engaged column at the back too, right?
Correct.
So there are two in the front and one in the back. Is that what we're saying to make the three on either side of the door?
Well, there's actually three in the front. They just wrap around the corner, so one hides behind the other one from the front view. So you can't see it. So from the side view,
you can see it. Okay. That's fine. I'll just wait until you do it and then I'll see it.
Okay. I'm sure you will.
Yes.
I would say that one of the standards, SOI standards, does say that modern additions should be designed such a way that if they were removed, it wouldn't alter the essential form and character of the building. So even though this is a modern porch, we know the Greaves left without the house being completed, most likely. They left Geneva. So this is a modern addition, and it is not. It could be removed and altered without impacting the basic form and details of the building. So while there's a lot of different porches, and porches were often the keystone of these shingle-style buildings, and they varied widely from one to the other, this does meet the intent of the SOI standards.
Thank you. Mr. Stazen, we haven't heard from you. Do you have any comment?
Not at this time, no. It looks pretty good to me.
Okay, very good. I think the other thing that we want to discuss is we want to make sure that we get to both the tower and to the garage and the cupola and what people think about that. So if you could, if anyone wants to jump in about the tower, it is, I guess it, the historicism of it is somewhat lost because it didn't look like this in 1896 when they took the picture anyway. And it didn't look like, and we, it's been changed since then. So, but what's people's feeling about the tower itself? Does anyone?
This is David Warner. Michael, you mentioned it. Looking, I forget which elevation of the tower, but it looked like there might have been a balcony on it.
I can go back to that slide here too.
It doesn't change how I feel of it. It's just simply the historicity of that, that either the there it is, that there was a stair, outdoor stair going up that, or a door or something in that upper level.
What I would assume from looking at other water towers, that was probably a set of doors, and that was a place to hoist in equipment or a well shaft if it needed to be replaced, is my guess. But again, the history on this water tower is very vague, like the history of the property itself. So it is somewhat speculation, except we do know there was a lawsuit by the owners in this neighborhood opposing the municipal water system. And this was put in either as their own water system or as a way to assure they had good pressure from the city water system.
Okay. Does any of the other commissioners feel like that this has been altered to begin with more than so that what the Morels are planning on doing really isn't is probably acceptable? Is that what I'm, if I can get some feedback on that, does anyone have any feedback on that?
I mean, I'll pipe it. It's a unique feature no matter what. And, you know, the proposed changes to it, I think, make it a little bit more exciting. I mean, it's, you know, I guess aesthetically, I would kind of prefer to have something a little more pizzazz than a plain looking shingled tower. It's, okay. It kind of reminds me of a New Englandy kind of a widow's walk that would be on top of the house. So, and I'm from New England, so don't hold that one against me.
Okay.
Chairman Tomer, I guess from my opinion, it is very different than what limited photos we have and from what it looks like today. But I mean, my initial kind of perspective of this whole project was this house was going to look very, very different after than what it does today. Now, that's not a bad thing, and it certainly is a great, the house is going to look great once this is done. It's just going to be very different than what it looks like today. And I guess that was my initial kind of hesitation with the windows changing, the shingle tagging, and even the additional windows in the lighthouse.
Yes, Carolyn.
Thinking about the water tower, I'm looking at the water tower as a utilitarian building on the property that I'm glad is not being torn down. I could see why it would be torn down because it certainly doesn't have the same use that it had when it was built. And I'm thinking about barns and other garages that we have looked at in the historic district that have been turned into something else. There's a garage that is in one of the buildings that won an award with the last time we were looking at historic properties I think it is very close to where the library is now, and it used to be a garage in the front, and it has doors on three sides, and now it's a party room. So I'm thinking this is the same kind of idea with this water tower. I think it looks very, it is done well. It's nicely, I like the proportion with the metal roof on the top. I mean, the detail with the metal roof on the top and the windows at the top. I think it's a very interesting idea that light will be falling down into the bottom of the tunnel, which I think is maybe where the really classy looking bathtub is going to be. I think that's a really interesting way of using this portion of the building, and I think it's going to be just fine.
I do agree. I think that the one thing that it does have going for it is you have kept the same scale that it was, and it's basically the same proportion, and exactly the same proportion, and at least it's kept its form and from when it was originally a water tower. So
this is what I like about this project, that, you know, you're not messing with the bones of the house. You know, by Secretary of Interior Standard 10, if someone wanted to return this back to what it was originally, the house is, the bones or the basic house is still there. You know, we haven't put on a giant addition or any kind of a massive growth off the side of the house. So I just think that leaving the tower there is a real plus for this project. Not messing with it too much, and I the windows don't bother me too much. I see what they're saying, that it's lost its original look, but it wasn't really very attractive to begin with. So I don't think this is hurting it, and I think it's reversible, and that's one of the SOI standards. So SIO standards. So I'm good with this.
Okay. Great. Does anyone have any comments about the garage and the cupola on the garage?
This is David Warner. That elevation right there, it just seems that the garage is very large in scale in comparison to the home. I guess I could tell myself a story that it was a barn, a carriage house or something like that, with the barn siding with the cupola, and it reads very much that way. But then I'd have to ask myself, why is it there? Is that the carriage house associated with the Plato home? It's handsome. I like it. I would propose something like that, but in context of the shingle right immediately next to it, just makes me wonder what's the thought process there is, or maybe if something could be more in keeping with that.
Can I answer to that?
Sure.
My thought process for making it board and batten was to separate it from the house, to try to get the feel of more of a little collection of buildings rather than, I like that it was detached and red detached, and I thought it broke down the scale of all the buildings together. Again, it's harder to read in this 2D picture, but the two-car portion is actually pulled out a little bit in front of the side to the right, the blank bay. So I did that to try to bring down the scale of the mass and kept the roofs matching, the roof pitch matching the roof pitch of the existing building. It's just a little difficult because the existing building's pretty little right there, and the part that's sticking out, at least. So it's just a one-bedroom area right there. So we needed to get the cars in there, and we thought the two separate doors, again, help break down the scale compared to one big door and make it look have a little more vintage scale to it.
Yeah, I think the separation the distinctiveness of it is speaks very well for it. It's a standalone facility and all of that. It just seems a little large. That and I hear what you're saying though, to get the cars in. But the two peaks, they're over the two overhead doors, and that peak height over the peak of the bedroom. It just seems large, and that's, I don't know if I'm the only one or if that doesn't make any difference. I'm just giving you a little bit of feedback. That's.
Yes, I understand. Thanks. Yeah.
And then as far as the style, could you just speak to that, the inspiration for that?
The style being really not much style. It's a pretty simple building. Using the board and batten, was trying to keep it looking utilitarian and sort of a carriage house feel, but didn't try to pull in really any strong style statements to try to change the style. Just wanted it to feel like it's a separate building by changing the material. And I don't know what the Morels are picturing, but I'm picturing that whole building being white, as opposed to gray on the house. But it doesn't have to be. It could be gray with white trim as well. I think you won't get as big of a difference feeling if it's the same color. So, and then I'll let Brian talk about the cupola, because that's near and dear to his heart.
Can I just add one thing before Brian does it? Have you looked at having the gable only over one of the doors, and then having the other door be set back in line with the rest of the garage, so that you could actually bring that gable down a little bit? And I guess the problem might be that I see on the south elevation, are you matching the pitches of the roofs from the house to the garage?
On the south elevation? Oops. Well, it is matching, but it's or pretty close to matching, I guess. But no, more than that was just that I thought, because remember that third bay is not a garage door there. So it to have the door and then that blank bay, I think the single gable didn't look, it just looked out of scale to that. And then that single door would be with the blank spot. So it didn't like compositionally come together very well for me to do just a smaller gable. One way to make the gable smaller would be to combine the doors and have less space on the doors. But they've been living with this very small garage for many years, so they kind of wanted a decent-sized garage, too, was the other thing. Mm-hmm.
Did you look at it as a single gable, or did you not?
I just in sketch form, I did.
Yeah.
You know, trying to sketch out the composition of this so that just, mm-hmm. you know, how you sketch until something clicks. And,
sure.
And this is what really like, oh, well, then it makes sense that there's no door in here because it's a separate wing coming off the back and it's set back 2 feet. So, mm-hmm. again, I think that's going to make it's a two-car garage. It's not a big building. So I think that is just a little bit of optics with the house being pretty small there, that the two-car garage looks pretty big. But when you look at the main roof of the building, and when you look at a picture of this, that main roof is pretty prominent on the big dormer in the background there too. So the bedroom wing that you're comparing it to is pretty deep there too. So I didn't feel like it was going to look out of scale. I see what you mean in this drawing, that it looks bigger, so much bigger than the bedroom bay. But I feel like with the low slope roof, it's not that big of a building actually. And with that one bay pushed back 2 feet, that you don't really get the strong read of that with the corner, without, you know, with the board and batten, you're not seeing the corner board. I hate drawing board and batten because it looks so so strong in drawing, but in reality, when this is all painted one color, it's a very subtle texture. If you, I'm sure you all seen, there's lots of board batten in Geneva, so that's like the, one of the very common, commonly used.
That was going to be my question. Obviously, you've taken cues from other things, and I understand separating the shingle with the board and batten. But where I've in my head, I can only picture one or two board and batten buildings, and I'm wondering if I don't have an objection with this, but is there that much of it in Geneva?
There is. I couldn't list a bunch, but we've done some recently. There's been some new things going up with it.
Historical.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head. I can look around for you, but the board and batten really comes from barn and utility buildings because those buildings had horizontal structural members instead of studs vertically. So you would nail your boards to those horizontal members on a barn, and they would be, and so that's why your siding went up and down. So I picked it because it was, I wanted to get a sort of a carriage house feel out of it, more of a utility building that, and that's why I picked that.
Yeah. Now, also the setback, I from the top view, is this garage setback farther than, say, the house itself, or is it setback about the same?
It's about the same. It's right up flush to it.
Oh, it is.
And that's because we're pretty tight to the corner of the dining room in the back there. We got about 5'3" away from that. So we didn't have a lot of space, and that's a very common path that goes through there.
Sure.
So it's about where the garage is now, too, the existing garage up there.
Al, just to comment, on the east side, there's a section along Chrissy Street and two streets east of there where there's a fair amount of board and batten buildings built probably 1870, 1880. So there are some there on the east side.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I feel like there's some board and batten on the Little Traveler, too, if I'm not mistaken.
There is. Yeah.
They just covered 318 with it. The 318 coffee house.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even parts of St. Mark's, the backside.
Yeah, the backside of St. Mark's is the new house at 525 has some board and batten on it that you approved also. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Does anyone have any comments about the cupola itself? I actually like the cupola. I don't have a problem with it.
I'm fine with cupola.
Well, the cupola, the purpose is for ventilation in a barn and light in a facility that may not have light. So if, again, it's trying to read like a carriage house, then that's appropriate. If it's trying to relate to the shingle, home to its neighbor, then maybe not. You know. But I think it's appropriate on that structure.
Okay.
I did have a question remaining, going back to the main home, and that's that maybe... It slipped by. Was that connector section between the main home elevation and the tower, that was going to be that paneling? Could instead maybe something like just clapboard be put in there? Or do you feel strongly about that?
I wouldn't want to have, it could be, we had sort of board and batten at one time drawn in there. I thought some kind of horizontal siding would look weird to have the shingles and then the horizontal in there. And the idea of going to these panels was to get a little more rhythm going with the square windows and then the square panels. That's why I'm dismayed that there's a vertical piece missing there in my drawing. And that they're showing up as black instead of white. Cause really it's kind of a whole horizontal strip, but I thought that is probably a little more of a prairie element than shingle style. But what I liked about it was it was trying to read more like a connector, like an old covered breezeway or something, to just get a strong base and then that like a freeze band up in there. So I don't know about like horizontal siding, but you could go to anything that could be painted all white, I guess, really.
I'm asking my architect colleagues here, you know, if that panelization is appropriate for that style, to be borrowing maybe more from prairie. Again, that's not a major deal, but it is an important, you know, elevation, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Now you put me on the spot as the only architect on the commission.
Speaking yeah, as another one.
Another architect, the only other architect, I should say. George.
A material change would break up the linear character of that, but, you know, do we want to reduce the horizontal scale of that or not? I know you have breaks because it's not a flat elevation, but if you wanted to introduce, I heard somebody mention the concept of multiple structures rather than just have the same character all the way across the north, material change may accomplish breaking it up more, if that's the intent.
It is the intent. I wanted to keep the base, the shingles, to tie it together, and then I guess it's such a low horizontal element that, but we don't have a whole lot of windows in it because there's a laundry room and a closet back there behind that. So we got these little windows as one material. It looked kind of blank and needed something. So that's why I added that horizontal band to break down that blank wall a little bit.
Chairman Zellmer?
Yes, sir.
I think I just to throw a little perspective in here, listen to the conversation from both sides. The commission has said at one point that you're keeping the bones of the building, but you're giving it kind of a new face. I think if that's the approach that the commission is looking at, I think you need to look at that consistently around the facade. If you think that another element other than the panelization belongs in there, and horizontal clapboard's been suggested, my question from looking at the standards and looking at what we've asked of other applicants would be, if you're going to put clapboard in that part, why would you not put clapboard on the tower? Because we know that's what that original finish was. So if you're allowing the tower to have a new interpretation, if you will, then perhaps the panelization is correct. I think to introduce a small area of a fourth material on this building, fourth cladding, counting the metal side, metal roofing as being a kind of a cladding material that you're going to see, might make it more confused, because one of the things the shingle style and the arts and crafts tend to do is to simplify the overall composition. So I think you've got to decide amongst yourselves, you're looking at these details, is do you want to use materials that were found historically on the building that we know for sure, if that's the case, then maybe the tower needs to be clabbered to match the historic elements. Or if you're saying we're going to keep the bones but allow a new kind of interpretation of those bones to be done, then the panelization is could be considered appropriate under the standards. But I think you can't mix the idea of we're going to use a historic material because it was on the building at some point, but not in the same location it was used historically, and yet let the rest of it have a new face. So I think you've got to be consistent with how you're going to look at the overall composition of the exterior of the building.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's actually appropriate. I think someone had stated Queen Anne, and I don't have my book on historic styles, but it seems to go not in the spirit of that, not so much in the actual not the actual execution. So.
And I guess I would think that once the building is, I think it will look more appropriate when you see it as a building as opposed to the drawing, because with the drawing done, it's a very busy looking building with the drawing, because the drawing is all black and white. And I think, if I'm understanding, it's going to be a pale gray. The cedar siding is going to be a pale gray. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes. Same color as our current dormers. It's like a light gray. Yep.
Okay. So if that's a light gray and the panelized siding is white, I think that is going to look, I think that's going to look very appropriate. It won't be as glarish, I guess is the appropriate word, as it does look in the drawing. That's my thought.
I agree.
The other architect agrees.
Oh, who agreed with me? Who was that?
Mr. Marshall.
Oh, thank you.
We seem to be heading towards a consensus. Does anyone have any? I don't have a lot of issues with this. I think it's a fine design. I think it's a good, appropriate. I think Al hit it on the head when he said he was keeping the bones of the building, and it's a unique home that is going to be still be unique, yet I think more cohesive. So, does anyone else have any issues with it? I don't think we need to worry too much about false historicism unless anyone else has an issue with that. Just jump in. You don't need to. Okay. Well, I'm not hearing anything from anyone. Can we get a motion for this house or this project? Caroline, it looked like you're almost ready to say something.
I was going to say, this is Al's last meeting. I think he should do this if he wants to. Right, Al? This is your swan song.
It is. That's true. Thank you. All right. Well, I don't know that we've made any major corrections or changes on this. So I would approve the request for the renovation of the property at 428 Fulton Street. I don't believe we're subject to any modification.
Question about the standing seam roof that we did not discuss.
All right, so then I would say approve the request for the renovation.
Mr. Warner, did you have a comment?
Yeah, was the standing seam roof just again materials discussed for appropriateness, the color and the manufacturer and the detail there?
I think they stated the color was black, and I didn't hear anyone. I thought that was appropriate, but I didn't hear any other issues with it.
Should we direct staff to work with the applicants if there are any further issues?
We probably should. Okay. Michael, did you get the... Go ahead, Al.
Oh, I would just move to approve as presented with subject to commission's review and comments, and direct staff to work with applicants for any issues that might arise.
Can I get a second from someone?
Can I do the second, please?
Seconded by Carolyn. Commissioner Zinke. And then are you going to call the roll, Michael, or do you want me to?
I can call the roll. Are you ready for me to call the roll?
We have a seconded motion.
Okay. Commissioner Hamilton?
Aye.
Commissioner Hiller?
Aye.
Commissioner Solomon?
Aye.
Commissioner Stazen?
Aye.
Commissioner Corner?
Aye.
Commissioner Zink?
Aye.
Commissioner Zellmer?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much, Morels. I appreciate you bearing with our first meeting on this new platform.
Well, thank you very much for doing this. Before we close, could one of you like explain what Al was referring to about motion to work with staff on something? What does that mean?
Well, what that means is if there are any issues with the materials, which we didn't bring any up, but if you decide to change any materials, that Michael would work with you to see whether they can get approved without administratively without having to come back to us.
Thank you. So something came up.
Do you agree, Michael?
Well, I would also say that I think that it's alluded to that the window order and the drawings don't necessarily match up. We'll just work to make sure that we're all in agreement with that. So it's on record in the file that what windows are being put in is what you actually intend, because there are some discrepancies between the window order itself and the drawings. So that's an easy thing to clear up.
Okay, great.
Thank you all for your input and your time. We really appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you. Thank you to the commission. I pass that along also.
Thank you very much for putting up with us today.
Thank you.
It's interesting. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
So I'll leave now. Thank you.
Very good. Have a good evening. Okay, the next thing on our agenda, I believe, is secretary's report. Is that correct? Staff update?
So I did have a very brief staff report, and Carol has kind of stolen my thunder a little bit, but I did want to personal thank you to Commissioner Hiller for nearly 17 years of service to the City of Geneva on the Historic Preservation Commission.
Here, here.
As all of you know, Al serves as our vice chair, but aside from just being a very dedicated commissioner, the institutional knowledge and his continual referencing to the Secretary of Interior standards, attending nearly 200 meetings over the last 17 years, and actually living in a house that he's restored and put an addition on. A really outstanding addition and contribution that's going to be missed on the commission. So Al, I think we all agree, and you've heard it already with some applause and whatever, you're going to be missed, but we very much appreciate the level of service.
It's been a good run. I've enjoyed every minute of it. And I feel confident here at the end.
Do you have any, Sean, would you like to add something?
I would love to. Al?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Yeah. Really has been, your participation on this commission has been noteworthy in so many respects because of you're really level-headed. You're consistent in your renderings of opinion, and you also, I mean, you're, I just appreciate, I mean, first of all, man, you have the patience of Job to be on that thing for that long. It's amazing. But you've seen a lot of stuff happen, and, you know, that collective wisdom will be missed for sure. So thank you for your leadership and your willingness to sacrifice so much on behalf of the community. And are you moving? Because I'm after that house, if you are.
No, we're not going anywhere.
Good. Well, I'm sure we'll.
Thank you very much. That's very kind. That means
we'll see you in the neighborhood, Al. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Any other commissioners like to throw in a few things to say?
Yeah.
Wow. I appreciate all your assistance. I always call on you first. So.
It's been a lot of fun, Al. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, really, really, really great. I'm confident you guys are fine. You know, this will be. Have they found anyone else yet? Are we working on?
We are still working on filling your shoes with the COVID response. It's been delayed a little bit, but we have some expectations that we will be pursuing those here as soon as we can move on to some of those business items at the city.
I would say I first met Al when we brought our project before the commission, and your comments along with Carolyn's were appreciated and are still part of our memory here living in our home. So we do thank you, and you certainly will be missed, Al. So
thanks a lot, Dave. And your project was one of my favorites. I thought it was a difficult project, and I thought you did a fine job with it. So.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank you very much, Al, and I guess I'll still see you because I'm across the street.
Yeah, I avoid it, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I might show up with Sean a couple of times to some of the meetings every once in a while.
Very good.
What, are you going to heckle us in the back?
Exactly. It's going to be really fun being out there in the audience.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Okay. With that, do you have anything else to add, Mr. Lambert?
No, that is the extent of my staff report.
Very good. With, do we have any comments from the public? All right.
I do have one quick question.
Sure.
Michael, I know last month there was a meeting that was in theory supposed to be held, but not. Obviously there are no meeting minutes or anything that come from that. I know the Reeves had a project that were supposed to go before it, but something happened. I mean, because of the virus, they couldn't meet. So where do things stand with that?
Sure. We looked at that at a staff level and looked at the exact motion of the commission, and we decided that there was enough leeway in the HPC's motion to give staff the authority to work with them on the door itself, because it was consistent with what was there. So we did approve that administratively. I should have reported that. I'm sorry, I did not do that. So thank you for bringing that up. But their front door is matching what was there. They are retaining the historic transom. They are raising it to meet the site conditions. So that was approved administratively. We did also approve the removal of the side light on the Third Street door in the new addition.
I appreciate that, especially because of kind of the extraordinary circumstances and the fact that the Reebies were able to continue moving forward. So thank you on my behalf, as well as the Reebies, for being able to address it in such a way. So thank you.
You're very welcome. We've tried to be very responsive in the midst of this this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, is there any additional comments from the commission other than Al? Do you have any last thing to say?
I will move to adjourn.
I think we can take that. Can we get a second for that?
Second.
Okay, from Mr.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. All in favor?
All right. Cheers, Al.
Very good. I think we are adjourned. Out.